I'm Randy Thurston with Pueblo Riverwalk Talk, and Pueblo Riverwalk Talk is about Pueblo, about the people of Pueblo, and what makes Pueblo special. Today I have a special guest with Matt Albright, who's the director for the Center for American Values, and I'm an advisory member, very closely tied with the mission that this organization has, and it's huge for this community. It deals with the recipients of the Medal of Honor over the years, and they're located right here on the Riverwalk, which I'll have Matt talk briefly about that. And it's a sensitive subject today. It's about suicide. And so on that note, Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell very quickly about the Center for American Values and how it started and what its mission is.
I'd love to. So the Center for American Values was founded in 2010 by Congressional Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix and Brad Padula. Now, the center's been housed here in Pueblo for 11 years now, and I think it's been 11 years of impact. A lot of people know us for the Medal of Honor Gallery, 160 portraits of the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients living 1999 to today, and various other historical artifacts associated with the medal here on the Pueblo Riverwalk. But we do so much more. I think recently we were looking at the numbers, and about 50% of our programs happen outside the walls of the center. We talk about the center in three focus areas: the Medal of Honor Gallery, our community inspiration, the 9/11 event, our help with Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and the other programs like that. One neat thing about that Medal of Honor Gallery, it's the only place outside the Pentagon you can see that unique collection, and we try and be a hub for different community events. So we're open to the public, different nonprofits use it for character and leadership development training. And that would be the second aspect or second focal area of our mission, is character and leadership development for both youth and adults. It's about 50-50. Each year, about 7,500 to 10,000 youth participate in our non-political lessons on civics education, on character and leadership development, on how and why we honor service and sacrifice. You know, we have mission and vision like every nonprofit, but to keep it simple, I like to say, what do? We recognize service and sacrifice. Why do we do that? So the next generation will do the same. And then we host numerous adult-focused character and leadership development programs, from Colorado Ag Leadership to different groups out of Fort Carson and Buckley and from across the country. And the third focal area is what we're going to talk about today, our veteran and active duty slash first responder support programs. And like you said, it's a sensitive topic, but today we're going to address and talk about an upcoming program and some of the other programs we have that are focused around active duty and veteran suicide prevention.
Well, you know, the one thing I want to highlight is the gallery itself. People don't realize that when you come into this gallery, it's like walking into New York. It's such an incredible venue. It's done in such a way that I was just blown away the first time I walked in with the showcasing of all of the recipients with their stories, the books that are related. You walk around with an iPad and you can hear what makes each one of these individuals special, what their story was. There's no place in the world other than the Pentagon that you can have that experience, and it's right here within 50 yards from us where we're doing this interview right now.
Yeah, sure. I had the same experience. I often say, even as the current director, and I've been there 6 years, but my first 3 years in Pueblo, I walked past the center not knowing what it was. No, nothing for the name or against the name. I just never walked in, and the first time I walked in was a unique occasion where I think we had three Congressional Medal of Honor recipients in there. One was doing a speaking engagement, and I was just blown away. I walked in, and similar to you, I said, this is in Pueblo? Now, being a military slash aerospace brat, if you would, I've lived across the world, and it is something unique, and it is something I thought, wow, this is special. And I started as a volunteer, and like I said, here I am years later as proud to be the director.
And we're very fortunate to have you the director, Matt. I mean, your commitment, your focus, your heart is priceless. And with this sensitive area that we're going to be talking about with suicide, I'm very impressed that the center, yourself, the recipients of the Medal of Honor have all reached out and saying, hey, this is a serious issue that's getting out of control. What can we do to help? And the program is called Breaking the Wall of Silence.
Yes, the current one we're talking about today is Breaking the Wall of Silence. And you're correct. It really kind of stems from Drew and his personal mission of saying, we need to address this, and the recipients. I think, not to understate it, it's pretty special that the Congressional Medal of Honor Society wanted to partner with the Center for American Values on this. Again, this shows that the center is much more than a little gallery in Pueblo, as sometimes we're mistaken for. And yes, it's an amazing, inspiring venue, but the Congressional Medal of Honor Society had seen what the center is doing with our virtual programming. They said this is a need that needs to be addressed, and they reached out for the partnership and kind of gave us the torch to do this national program with the Colorado focus. So this is a proud partnership with the Congressional Medal of Honor Society because the recipients see this problem, you know.
Well, as a recipient see this problem, Matt, what makes the veterans and people currently in the military a high risk for suicide?
You know, Randy, that's an answer. If I knew that, I would. We break the, you know, we can make a magic potion, if you will. Right. If anybody really knew, there's a ton of people that write books and do forums on, let me tell you exactly how to fix this. But obviously, if there was an answer, we wouldn't be talking about this today. One thing we like to point out, and that we truly believe at the center, is that this is an American suicide epidemic. Honestly, you hear often the military suicide epidemic. This is sadly an American suicide epidemic. Suicide's ravaging the LGBTQ plus community. It's ravaging the agriculture community, our farmers, our ranchers. There's extremely high rates. Our first responders and police, extremely high rates. And even within average Americans, dentists have one of the highest rates ever. This is just something that is sad across all walks of life and being felt. And I don't know anybody that hasn't been directly or 6 degrees of separation affected by losing a friend or a family member or somebody they know in passing, a colleague, to death by suicide. And so this is a niche that we're involved in. We work directly with the military, active duty veterans. We know that this is an extremely large problem in this high-risk community. Why? A lot of people, I think there's a lot of misinformation or false stigmas or perceptions that even I carried. You know, you hear about the 22 a day in this thing, and I really did, like many Americans, I thought, this is terrible. You know, it's these guys that are around my age that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they just had trouble dealing with the scars of war. But the truth is, that's not what the statistics show. A large portion, I believe nearly 50% of military and active duty veterans that die by suicide are non-combat. And there's an extremely high percentage that are of advanced age. Vietnam era guys and men and women are dying by suicide at an extremely high rate as well, 50 years after the conflict. So something needs to be done, and that's why this particular program is a multi-generational look at that.
Well, you know, when you look at the word you use, stigma, and then you look at the title of the program, Breaking the Wall of Silence, how do you really deal with the stigma that goes with suicide?
Well, when we talk about that stigma, I believe, and from what I understand working within this community, is that there is a stigma for active duty and veterans to reach out for help. In a program we did several years back, I remember it was a Marine who was riding his bike across the United States to bring awareness to this issue, and he talked about it like this. He said, you know, when we're over there and we get in a firefight, what's the first thing we do? We call for support. We call for air. We call for evacuation. We call everybody in to say, hey, look, we're under attack. When we get home, it's almost, you know, frowned upon to ask for support and help. And so the program that we're doing, Breaking the Wall of Silence, is a Medal of Honor recipient forum on active duty and veteran suicide prevention. And our hope is not to give the ultimate answer to this issue, but open the conversation to help destigmatize military members' ability to talk openly about this as an issue.
Well, I think when I look at military, is it's tough. It's men. It's you know, we have no fear. We'll protect this country till death do us part. So for them to be struggling mentally with a story in their head, or a feeling, or emotions, or disappointment, or frustration that lives with them for years, that is kind of what you're looking at bringing out in maybe being aware that there might be something out of sync, and then how do you communicate that without creating an energy that might be negative?
Well, one is, anytime we introduce this topic, we remind people that if this particular program, even if this particular interview is a trigger, please reach out for help. Be careful, because lots of things can trigger. But we also need to openly communicate this, because it's that lack of communication, that inability to hear people say, I was struggling, I needed to get help, and I went and got help. And the fact is, the Medal of Honor recipients, we don't put them on a pedestal, even though they're such a rare breed. Honor breed, if you would. Yeah, with only, I believe, 67 currently living. That medal, though, it transcends rank, it transcends branch. You know, people aren't listening because there's four stars on the shoulder, or, oh, you're Navy, I'm Navy, let's listen. The Medal of Honor is kind of a great equalizer. And as you've had the opportunity to meet many of the recipients, it comes with I was just doing my job and I wear this for the others.
Absolutely. That's their communication. This is not about me, but about a bigger picture.
Exactly. And the recipients we chose for this particular program, they are going to just have a conversation. Again, they're not standing on a platform. We're not going to be a bunch of data-heavy, data-driven type of conversation, because there's a plenty of forums for that. But it's going to be a virtual conversation. They're not leaving their hometowns. They're going to come in, and we're going to host it through the center. And they're just going to have a talk about it, and talk openly and honestly of saying, I was hurting. I had to seek help myself. And the four areas we're going to talk about are connectedness. One, how do you get connected? It's important to have shared experience, whether it be an older generation hanging out at the VFW, or a younger generation going to CrossFit, playing golf, playing video games online, whatever it may be. Find a community. Stewing by yourself is not healthy. Or connecting with people that kind of feed the fire of negativity is also not healthy.
Well, you know, when I look at the issue, there's two paths. The path that, geez, I wished I would have known. If I would have only known, maybe I could have said something to keep that person that I love from committing suicide. Or the path of, you know, I'm glad I was bold and I reached out and I said, you know, something's not right. Feel free, please, I'm your friend. What can we do, or what do we need to talk about, or what are you feeling? And I know you've gone through special training on this, Matt. What is that conversation that really bridges for people to be aware, number one, that something's not right, and how to bring that openness to let somebody feel comfortable to share how they're really feeling?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Randy. So about 2 years ago, when the center decided this is a focal area we'd like to help with, this is an area that we think we can make a difference, this is an area that wasn't being addressed throughout Southern Colorado, I realized that, you know, if I'm going to lead this charge, I better know some stuff myself. So I did, you know, I have gone through numerous trainings and certifications, and I had to speak better towards this topic, but I'm not a clinician. You know, I'm not sitting here now that I know anything more other than a little bit better knowledge about that it could fall on me, not as a weight or a responsibility, but I may be able to make a difference if I question somebody I think might be struggling, if I persuade them to communicate to me about what they're going through, and I know how to refer them to help. And so that's a little bit different sector of what we're doing. This is obviously with the Medal of Honor, but even on a local level throughout Southern Colorado, we're trying to implement what's called QPR training, a question, persuade, refer, to different veterans organizations and those that work in the veteran community, so I can better understand. In short, without the huge training or certifications, if someone gets distant, if someone starts acting different, feel free to ask them if they're okay. And when they say no, say, are you sure? Because I'm here for you. Because you know, don't know when that might be the time where they go, you know, I am hurting, Randy. And I'm not saying only your best friend or something, but sometimes us making that interaction, I've heard numerous stories about that one interaction of someone saying, are you struggling? No, I'm fine. Are you sure? Because I'm here to listen. I've hurt too. Not getting into saying, oh, but you got divorced, and but you cheated. All, you know, stuff that sometimes we want to go, or they're fine. Bob said he's fine. He's fine. Versus knowing that, okay, he hasn't shown up.
Something's not right.
Yeah, something's not right. Whether it be the happy guy that's all of a sudden sad, or the sad guy that's all of a sudden happy. Just a difference in behavior when you know that nothing has really been addressed. We can make a difference just by asking simple questions and knowing where to refer and letting people know, like, hey, it's okay. I've hurt too. I'm here.
Well, we're in a very interesting time in history. There's massive changes. Stability is a thing of the past. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things going on. But yet, again, I'm just going to assume that everybody that is having thoughts of hopelessness, having thoughts of giving up, they feel like they're the only one in the world that is in that boat. And they don't have the conversation within themselves as far as what are the choices, what are some things I could reach out to. And that's where I think the referring them to the right direction is so powerful, because if they knew, and they knew they weren't the only one that has ever felt this, maybe they would have an awareness of some things to do, and that's what this brings to the table is awareness.
Yeah, what's really sad, and from what I've learned, again, not speaking as an expert, but as someone who has tried, you know, made an effort to try and learn, it's even my own perceptions, not just about military suicide, but my own perceptions about suicide have been changed. It's, you know, this is, that's kind of selfish to do that, versus knowing that someone that actually, you know, dies by suicide really has convinced himself that the world would be better without him. And when you're at that point, that really needs to be a clinician or mental health involved. And that's the difficult step sometimes of getting people to say, hey, look, there's stats, and I don't want to quote numbers that I might not be correct, but the vast majority of people that attempt suicide and survive and get mental health never attempt again. You know, when they actually get the help, they do not attempt again. So it's really important to be able to refer people to get the help, because we all know there's people that, like I said, everybody's been touched in some way. And if you look back and think that this person that was near and dear to us, whether it was currently or in the, we hear friends we haven't talked in a long time, and to think that they'd convince themselves the world's better without them, and then the hurt they've left on everybody around them, it's very sad. But it's, again, a lot of times a mental health issue, clinical depression or whatnot, because the fact is, it really is this personal convincing yourself that, hey, look, they're better without me.
Well, you know, you mentioned something with mental health, and I'm going to say this from past interviews. Everybody has a certain degree of deficiency in mental health, just like we all have a certain deficiency in physical health. Mm-hmm. But yet, when we can't understand and we don't want people to see that side of us, that we might have thoughts or things going on that isn't normal, it really comes down to the story that people have in their heads. And with the story, I think what really needs to be looked at is, we always levitate, whether you're mentally strong or mentally deficient in that strength, of the worst case. And when you start having a different story and saying, it's not the end, this is a new beginning, I can start fresh now, all these changes, all this stuff that's going on, all of a sudden now I can rebuild who I am, I can redefine who I am, and I need help in that, in finding the resources. But what an awesome opportunity I can let go of the past and start fresh.
Sure.
And I think with that might create some new perspective, which is a more correct story that they should be having, instead of, you know, hopeless and the world is better without me, because that's not the case. Every human being is priceless.
Sure.
Every
sure.
human being is a snowflake. Every human being has something special to offer, but you have to get out of that story in your head to then start seeing that side of what would be the correct story to have.
Sure. And as I've said numerous times in this interview, we're not coming out saying, hey, we have the answer to that. But starting on a micro level, helping people realize that they can talk about this, and our local community being able to recognize, reminding people that it's important to be connected with people with shared experience. It's important to, you know, break the stigma of reaching out, whether it's military or guys like you and I.
Right.
Being able to say, I need help. I do feel down today. I am feeling, you know, not even if we're on the cusp, but just an everyday thing, being able to communicate. Also addressing the ability to have the access to that mental health. Like I said, it's important to say, okay, you need to get help. Okay, sure. Then what?
What's next?
And I don't think most people in our community and most communities across the country know the answer to that. Well, I think there's phone numbers. That's the kind of thing that we would go to, right? So the other thing I encourage to hesitate is is listening. That's active listening and stopping with everybody has the answer. If someone is struggling, maybe we can all get better at, instead of telling them everything, especially not as having a doctorate or in clinical psychology, just listening and saying, oh man, that's hard.
Well, I think, Matt, as we bring this full circle, how does somebody that's interested, what's their first step, and how would somebody know whether they should be interested or not?
Well, this program, the forum, we believe it's going to be impactful on our military community to help them realize how they can communicate, talk openly about this, not just for someone that's struggling, but leadership or people that work in the veterans community, but also helping our healthcare providers and everyday Americans have a better understanding of what our veterans are really going through. We think we know, we can sit and say this, they went to war, but like, sitting back and listening so we know how to address and communicate better with our veteran and active duty members that may be struggling, that's important. Back to the point of being able to listen. But us assuming we know that they're going through because we've seen some news stories or believe we know what it's like being in the military or seeing conflict, we really don't. So hearing the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients talk about this on this particular program, I think is important. Because if they can talk about their shared experience, their lived experience, staying connected, reaching out for help, that's going to open the door for many to hopefully better communicate about this topic.
Now, this is going to be a virtual forum.
Yes.
And when does it start? And what are some of the details about the actual program?
The forum is this Thursday, May 27th at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. You log on through, it's a YouTube live broadcast. So best way, I'm not going to rattle off the whole long link, but if you go to YouTube, search Center for American Values, on our landing page, you can put a reminder to participate. Also, like us on Facebook, Twitter. We're going to be pushing stuff out, the link out throughout the week, or go to our website, sign up for our mailing list, and that's going to get pushed out as well. I know a lot of people might say, well, 3 o'clock on a Thursday. The reason we're doing this on that time is we are working with a lot of clinicians on this. And there is sadly an uptick in veteran active duty suicide on Memorial Day weekend. So we wanted to put it before the weekend, but we're going to make this open access following this. Able to view and share. We're going to push out a new link so people can access this. It's not a one and done event. If folks can tune in to that live event, that's great. But we are going to make this available and keep pushing it out because we know it's important.
Even beyond the live event. But the live event would have people on there ready to help if somebody reaches out through this program.
Well, again, this is more of a forum. It's a discussion between the recipients. So we have a multi-generational panel of Congressional Medal of Honor recipients from Vietnam and the War on Terror, just discussing the different risk factors, the different issues surrounding active duty veteran suicide.
Well, you know, I'm going to make a statement very clearly that every life matters. Everybody is special, and it doesn't matter what is going through your head. It's you're worth saving.
Yeah, of course.
And the value that you can start with a new way of a cleaning perspective of what's next is priceless.
Well, I think the key word in that, no matter how you feel, no matter how unique you feel, you are not alone. And that's really the basis of this program, is that you are not alone in your struggles, in your pain, in those thoughts that come through your head. You're not alone. And even though how desperate and alone you feel, you are not alone. And again, if we can bring a high level spotlight to this issue, and have respected people that people think are, have no fear, have the greatest heroes in America, all the things that they're called, talk about their own vulnerability and their own struggles with this issue, I hope we can open some eyes. So again, it's YouTube Live, Center for American Values, YouTube. Go to our landing page. You can sign up for a reminder, or Facebook, Twitter. Like us on those formats, and we're going to be pushing the link out throughout the week.
And how about a direct contact for you, Matt?
Oh, direct contact, of course. They can call me direct, 719-415-0672 for more information, or email me at Matt, M-A-T-T, at American Values with an S, center.org.
Perfect. Any closing thoughts that you have, Matt?
If anybody did or is struggling while they're listening to this, please, before you wait till Thursday, please reach out and look up the National Suicide Prevention Hotline or something. But again, you're not alone in your struggles. Anybody out there, and if you work in the veterans community, you have veterans in your life, you may be concerned. I think this is a perfect fit. Not simply for veterans, this will be good for first responders, police officers, healthcare professionals, and anybody working within these fields. It's, again, more of an awareness program.
Well, Matt, I can say this from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate your efforts and the cause that you're taking on here. And the mission for the Center for American Values is now reached a level that will be saving a lot of lives.
So we hope. Again, to the You Are Not Alone, we couldn't do it without help of folks like Randy, yourself, and all of our partners, whether they be directly involved or pushing this information out and getting more people to watch it. We really are in this together as a community and a nation, because none of us can do this alone.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt. You've been listening to Pueblo Riverwalk Talk, and thanks everybody for listening, and have a great day.